So where do you get most of your clients from? Is it social media? Is it word of mouth? How do they get to know about you and your work?
So social media actually has come in the recent few years. Our studio's been around for 24 years now. We actually don't even have a PR agency. We've purely grown word of mouth. And I think it's been really good for us because we get like-minded clients. We attract clients who know of the goods and the bads that we bring on the table. So it's a known devil. And I think it's also rock solid when it works that way.
So unlike Shabnam, although I started my practicing architecture 20 years ago as well, I only branched off and started Lith a couple of years ago. And for me, social media has been a huge platform to create an identity for myself. So while a lot of people kept associating me with my past, I think social media has definitely helped me announce to the world that you know, I have a brand that is new today. And that has definitely helped my business. And I have to say thank you for this simple, small platform that has helped generate this huge identity for me today.
Yeah. They've been so many breadwinners, designers, the buck stops
their
there.
Entire business through social media. So, I mean, it just depends on how you use it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's powerful for sure.
And it's free. It's available.
And it's visual.
You can go through it.
And it connects people.
Yes.
So, absolutely.
So, is that a reason why we see luxury design moving away from tier 1 and tier 2 cities towards the smaller towns?
Everybody, I think, is aspiring for what they see on social media today. You know, you have clients who come in and say, oh, can you give me this? And everybody is either referring to Pinterest or social media or some reel that they've seen. And it doesn't matter whether you're tier 1, tier 2, you know, everybody has internet today and everybody has the right to say, I want this. So, yeah, for sure.
So let's dive a bit more into your work and the way you all work as architects in this field. Do you all engage in self-critic of your own work?
Yeah, for sure. I'm a Libran. So even after it is built, I'm questioning why, what, when, how. So I definitely ask everybody around me what they think of something I have designed because I want everybody's opinion. But I think I know exactly what I want. So I fine-tune those questions in a way so that I hear the answers that only I want to know, that I already know the answers to. So in fact, people who are close to me, they do not indulge me so much. They'll be like, stop wasting my time.
What about you?
I am a very restless soul. So I cannot rest on my laurels. I cannot be happy. I'm happy for the moment that, okay, we've achieved this, we've done that, let's move on. So the same applies to the kind of work the studio does. I like to understand what we can better. I'm very hungry to know what's new in the market. I'm constantly on social media not to
waste time.
Not to just like mindlessly scroll reels. But I actually love to see what are people across the world doing, what is something new that someone's used. And I think my teams are quite fed up because I actually have a group called Let's Get Social, where I like to just keep posting stuff that we should start using. So I think it's very helpful in that sense.
Interesting. And since both of you have your own practices, what is it like being a woman entrepreneur? Is it a blessing or a curse?
I would, misery is a choice. You can choose to see every glass as half full or empty. And frankly, for me, I'm extremely positive and I believe in the power of the universe. And I think I'm a blessed soul and I enjoy doing what I do. I'm I think in the category of luxury because I can do what I want to do. How many people actually enjoy what I wake up in the morning happy to go to my sites and definitely.
You see, for me,
I come from a home where a woman is considered to be a Shakti. And I genuinely believe that women are a far more powerful sex, only from a perspective that we can multitask so much and we can endure so much. I think men are, for ages, they've been breadwinners, but the buck stops there. I think women can birth children, they can run businesses, they can be entrepreneurs, they can be the nucleus to a family, and they can do all of that while looking pretty and all of it seeming so seamless. So for me, I think women are very strong any which ways.
You put that really well.
Yeah.
So is it art or the environment? Pick one if you had to. Want to go first?
I think the environment is very artistic.
Wow.
That's a good way to put it.
It is. It's true. I think most of us get inspiration. And the first person who actually got inspiration, the only thing that they had that inspired them was nature. So you can't run away from that. It's where we all come from.
Talking about inspirations and aspirations, do you think receiving awards at these felicitation events are something architects look up to, or it's just become something that you have to go for?
That's actually, see, in a way, I think recognition is good for any field. If you work hard and you get recognized for it, there's nothing wrong with it. But I will take Aamir Khan's stance on this and say, I'm not going to any award ceremony. No, don't go to me on that. I'm happily go. but yeah, I think it's a little over the top today, where it's become a little bit of vendors and people wanting to get architects' attentions, and so they start, you know, hosting their own award shows, and you are compelled to attend it if you're winning something. So I think there's a little bit of a tricky line there.
I think it's always lovely to be appreciated and your work be endorsed through awards. But I think sometimes it becomes a bit of an overkill. I think when an award is purely to recognize your work, it's great. But when it becomes an agenda to just try to get brands and to try to get the fraternity together with that hook, I think that somewhere is not as appreciated.
Interesting. And I believe both of you have served as jury members on these award shows. Yep. What is it like evaluating the entire process?
I think what that process is fun, because you're actually with the fraternity, you're looking at people's work. Some of the works are so identifiable that even though there is no name, you can just look at it and you know which studio's done it. I think also as a design fraternity, I'd like to think, and I'm usually someone who's very, very optimistic, that I don't see our fraternity appreciates each other's work. At least I do. I always feel I can learn from what others are doing, and I like to see good work. So I think when sitting in the jury, you are kind of getting to know what others are doing, how they're thinking, how they're presenting, and it's lovely. It's a lovely process.
I agree, and actually I was fortunate enough to be a juror on an international platform as well. And the work was just simply inspiring. I loved going through it. I don't know how time flew. I had so much inspiration apart from my nature walks that day.
Well, let's assume it's retirement day today. Where would you be? What would you be doing?
Working.
How would you spend it?
I was going to say.
Enough retirement?
I'm not going to retire.
I mean, you can slow down, you can become more picky, you can become more choosy, you can travel much more while working. But I think work is what just keeps you going. It keeps you alive. So I don't think I will ever be able to just stop and do nothing. I'll drive everybody mad.
That's the other thing I think about architecture or our field, right? It doesn't require for me, if I were a doctor and my hand started to tremble, I may not be able to operate, but I could still consult. Similarly, as an architect, I think today I need not ever stop drawing. And as long as there's work for me, I will keep doing it.
That's great to hear. So let's move on to the rapid fire.
Oh. Ooh.
Who wants to go first?
Go for it. Actually, you know, we should be asking you some questions, don't you think?
Let's do that later. okay, let's start with Apurva. What's the smallest project you've ever tackled?
Smallest would probably be 500 square feet.
You want to name it?
Yeah, it was my aunt's house. I was just starting my career. I've even done a bathroom.
I think that's how everybody starts.
Okay, which country besides India do you think you'll truly understand architecture in?
Which country besides India will I truly understand architecture in? I think I would have to say Italy. Sorry for the cliche, but and have I told you how beautiful their marble is?
And where do you get that?
You see it right behind you.
Who is really good to go to? Is this an endorsement podcast?
No, but truth be told, really, I have walked through Rome and looked at those buildings made out of travertine, and just said, wow, with jaw-dropping awe.
And even some of the sculptures. Yeah. I mean, you need to touch them to see how have they managed to create those drapes to actually have translucency. It's beautiful.
It's insane. Yeah.
Who's your favorite architect besides Sharma, of course? Can't name her.
Okay, I'm going to have to say Zaha Hadid. I just absolutely have found inspiration in her work. And as a kid, as an architecture student, I've just been in awe of her.
I'm a fan as well. The last piece of advice you got from someone?
The last piece of advice that I got from someone? To brush up on my Excel skills.
Really?
because I clearly don't know how to bill anybody.
And something that was so beautiful that you felt like stealing it?
Something that was so beautiful. Okay, so this, you know, as a kid, okay, I remember this. My cousin came home with a dictionary and it was this small, okay? And it was fat. And you had those mini pages. And it was just something I wanted so badly that I think I actually stole it.
You marred it quietly.
Yeah.
Snuck it into your knapsack.
Yeah. I just hope that she forgot about it.
Well, I think you did pretty well. Let's move on to shop now. What's the biggest project you've ever worked on?
A 50,000 square foot private residence.
Definitely not in Bombay.
I have an NDA, so I can't talk about it. Sorry.
Any favorite art pieces that resonate with you?
So many.
Pick one.
So I'm not one of those who collects art from a perspective of investment. I am somebody who collects art because it speaks to me. So I actually have pieces from old temples, which I have gotten from... from really, really, really far-flung areas in India, and they are gorgeous statues which have been restored. So I think for me a lot of those pieces, like one of my most favorite is an Afghani throw that I have, which is a vintage throw. It's a 200-year-old throw. So for me it's those pieces that have far more meaning to me.
Cool. Who's your favorite architect besides Apurva, of course?
So I've recently been tripping on the work of, and literally stalking him. He's a French architect called Baptiste Bohu. And he has mad work. He's so uninhibited that I'm completely loving what he's doing.
And the last piece of advice someone gave you?
To start balancing my work-life balance and work less and balance more, which is true. I should.
That should be the mantra for everyone.
Yeah, I should.
I have a common question for both of y'all. A home that you want to own anywhere in the world right now.
A home that I want to own.
That you want to own.
That's a tough one.
I think I own a pretty
good home already.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, a home is, of course, the external factors matter so much. So,
no,
I mean,
in
I
terms
can
of
easily,
the design.
Oh, in terms it. Of yeah. design. I yeah. think for me, it would be more in terms of location. Like, I'd love to own a home on the cliff edge, having access to a private beach. Like, I think for me, something like that would be a dream home.
What about you?
So I have a home on a cliff's edge. The beach is not close by.
Good enough. Works.
But okay, I'm going to stray a little bit from that. But I often wonder, you know, when you go to all these Italy, for example, or the Palace of Versailles, and you walk through those palaces, right? Every time, without fail, there is this thought that occurs to me. It's like, what if in my last life I was the princess that owned this villa or this palace, and what would I be sitting and doing here? And, you know, trying to imagine myself living in that space. And I think it's exciting every new palace or, you know, one of those museums that you visit. So that's whatever. Sorry, but deviates from your question, but that's for me.
It does answer it, of course. So what do architects do besides creating buildings and designing houses?
I would say creating vatavarans. I'm dying to say that.
And what was working on your first project like?
So I'll tell you this, okay?
And where was it?
So I was moving back from America to get married. I was literally getting married in January, and I moved back in November. And my father-in-law requested me. He said, you know, I would really like it if you did your room up. And it's my room, so why not? And I thought it was really sweet. So I said, okay, yes, I'm going to do this. And of course I can do it. I had 1 month between moving back and getting married. I lived in Bandra, and my husband's house was in Churchgate. I used to take the train and go every day. I didn't know anything about working in Mumbai, okay, because I just moved back from the US. And it was my first project. My mom was furious with me because I would be like going by train in the morning and coming back home at night and completely lost because I had no idea what I was doing. And at the end of it all, it wasn't like, whatever, she banned me after, when there were like 10 days left of the wedding, she said, you're not going anymore. And I was really sad about not having finished. It was literally one room and one bathroom. And I was complaining to my to-be husband, saying, you know, I'm feeling really sad that I didn't finish it. And Kunal looks at me and he says, it's really unprofessional of you. I almost called off that wedding.
What about you, Shabna?
I actually got very lucky with my first big break. My friend from London requested me to do up their outhouse that they had just bought. And the family lived in London, and they said, you know, we trust you completely, and just do it. We'll go, we love your sense of style, we'll go with it. And it was like a very big responsibility because it was a huge 4BHK apartment in Juhu. The clients weren't there, they just transferred the money. But I remember I used to stand on site for 6 hours, 8 hours at a stretch, because, you know, when someone puts that kind of responsibility on you, you just take it upon yourself to give it everything you've got. And that project, literally being our first, made it to the cover of Society Interiors.
Oh, lovely. Wow.
And I just never looked back. Nice. So we just struck lucky.
Wow. So what advice would you all give to someone who's just entering the industry?
If I had to go back and look back on my trajectory, I think I was in America, and I just finished my graduate school education. And at that point, honestly, for me, the most important thing was to repay my parents and the loan that I had taken to actually educate myself. So I went to work for the person who I was getting 2 rupees more from. Instead, I should have actually looked up people that inspire me and worked, even if it was for free, just so that I could bank on my learning and experience. And that's something I think a lot of kids today coming out of college, especially the good ones, are jumping to start on their own. And I feel those initial years when you can actually, when you're out of architecture school, you really know nothing. You really need to capitalize on your experience and pick and choose the right inspiration. And that's what I would advise architecture students today, to look for role models and learn from them.
Well said.
Yeah, no, I agree with the Apurva completely. I think today's students coming out, you know, there's that instant gratification. They want the money. They want their first paycheck to be a big paycheck. They want to switch jobs just to be able to get that hike. I understand that, but that's not how real life works. You need to go through the grind. You need to work in firms where you resonate with the work, where you will learn. The money will come. The money is just an outcome of all of this that we do. So you need to hang in there and you need to make the right choices.
Yeah, I do see that with all my friends.
Yeah. We see that with a lot of the next gen. But there are good kids. They're good kids. But they just need to get this direction. That's it.
I think we're done. Thank you for sharing your insights about the industry.
Thank you.
The way you all work.
Thank you for having us. This was really wonderful.
Thank you, Manit. Any questions? Shall we ask you some questions?
Yes, I really think we should ask you at least something. So I want to understand that I've seen the earlier episode of the podcast that you hosted, and I think it's really wonderful because there's no endorsement. You do come from a family that is one of the larger. I don't want to use the word supplier or vendor, but manufacturer, or y'all have a great strength in the industry already. But there is in a way none of that weight that's coming on to this podcast. It's just about getting the Indian design fraternity to talk about themselves. What made you do something like this, or how did this come about?
So my goal was to essentially put the entire Indian architecture fraternity on a global level. I've seen we're continuously importing architects. It's high time we start exporting them. So that's my goal.
Fantastic.
Through this podcast, yeah.
Really, really great endeavor.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you a little more personal question. So how is it growing up in this palace? And a question before that. What was your home before you moved here? How old were you when you moved here? And what was the transition like?
I think I moved around 11 years back.
Okay.
So maybe around 10.
I
used to stay in a joint family before this.
Okay.
Now we just split up in different floors. I think it was much cozier then. The family is more tight-knit. You got to see each other more often. Now it just feels like everyone's all over the place.
Yeah. I come from a joint family too, so I know what you mean. Yeah.
There you go. So luxury is not space necessarily.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a nice way, yeah. That's true. It's about people. It's about just being there. Yeah,
absolutely.
With each other.
Well, it was great talking to both of you.
Great talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.